Welcome back. It's Recovery Sort Of, the podcast where we explore the struggles of life, the challenges of mental health and recovery, and the spaces between. We express our personal views on life here, and this podcast is not meant to replace medical advice or tell anyone the right way to live. This podcast is best used as a place of curiosity and questioning to accompany you on your journey. Be aware there is strong language. Here we go.
I want to talk about uncertainty. All right, this is where I'm coming from.
Are you sure?
I wasn't,
but it felt so good.
So in one of my like circles, it was like the question was posed, how do you deal with uncertainty? So I had to stop and think about that. I'd like to think I was a brave or courageous person, but when I don't know what to expect, I get anxious. And which is funny because I generally like puzzles and mysteries, you know, like I like that process. But why am I so apprehensive when I go into a situation that is uncertain? And I will plan like crazy. So I wish I was braver. How do I get there? How do I get braver? How can I be more comfortable with the unknown? Is what I've been reflecting on.
Wouldn't getting more comfortable with the unknown make you less brave?
Yeah, you're right. But I kind of want to get there. I know for me, in part, it's like a safety thing. If I don't feel safe, you know, physical or mentally safe, then I'm like, I have to feel safe. So I thought about this trick in my brain. I'm like, what if I can imagine myself being safe? Does that make me a little easier going into the unknown? So that was a little kind of trick I came up with.
Yeah.
It's like if I can picture, like if I can trick my brain into thinking I do know how it will go, like some parts are unknown, but I know how well to go enough that I'll feel safe, then I can go in a little braver. So I don't know. How do you guys deal with heading into the unknown? And if you want to sing the Frozen song, go for it.
I don't know.
I don't know the Frozen song.
Really?
Let it go.
No,
the into the unknown. Yeah,
I was thinking
it in my head.
Oh my god! Well, you have a girl that's getting older.
Well, I mean, I think like let's start at the basis of the unknown is terrifying. I think for all of us, that's a very typical human reaction to the unknown.
Like, what level of unknown though? Because I love traveling somewhere brand new and not knowing like what it's gonna be like.
Right.
Like novelty is amazing.
Though. You just won a trip. I'm giving it to you. You leave today as soon as this recording ends. I ain't telling you no more than that. Not where you're going, not anything about it. You'll be surprised when you get there. How's that feel?
I need to know two things.
Nope.
I need to know what to pack.
No, you don't. It's the unknown. You don't need to know shit.
But how? What if I don't have clothing?
It's the unknown.
Pack everything. I guess I'm paying for extra luggage on the plane.
Well, that's not really dealing with the unknown.
It's being prepared.
Are you going on a plane?
Yeah. Are you going on a plane? I might be taking you next door.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you're walking.
Right.
All that luggage might
be. This sounds terrible, guys.
We're traveling.
The unknown.
We're traveling by elephant. I don't know. I mean, I think it's scary. This is where like I try to get into like biological DNA processes for humans and trying to think out what part of this is in the animal kingdom. What do they have to deal with? How do they deal with it? What's natural? All that kind of shit. They don't think about the future, so they don't have that generally. Most of them, like that's a function of our frontal lobe. You know that fancy thing that makes us humans, and it's like we have the ability to consider the future, and that actually makes us feel way worse than most of the animals that are alive.
Well, and as a person that has a lot of anxiety, like it used to feel like every situation I was going into that wasn't completely planned out was life-threatening.
Yeah.
So it's like even taking a trip down to DC to go to a concert was like, all right, where am I fucking parking? Mm-hmm. I need all the directions. I need blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Where are we going to eat? I need to, you know, there was no like, hey, let's just drive down there and figure it out. Like, I couldn't deal with that. And it felt like, oh my, we're going to get into some neighborhood we don't know. We're going to get shot or mugged or stabbed.
Do
and
that.
Yeah, it was just, that was how much, you know, like I couldn't deal with that stuff.
I'm laughing because 3 years ago we took a trip across the U.S. With no real great intention except like these three idea spots that we would hit along the way on our imaginary line, and like stayed in those neighborhoods and the motels with, you know, the lovely sex workers on the corner, and went to check into a hotel one night and they couldn't let us in because there was a standoff situation with the police in one of the rooms. So we had to like get a different hotel, and like, I don't know. It was fucking amazing. It was awesome.
So we similar, I mean, that's how I've come, as we similarly jumped in the car with the kids and drove across the country and didn't really have a plan or destination. So I've come a long way.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
So to me, when I hear that, that feels like the ability to relinquish control. That's what comes up for me, right? Like, I feel when I first got clean, like I couldn't go anywhere without my car. Like I was, no one else was, I needed my car so that I could leave a situation if I wanted to. And not scary situations like
a
restaurant or, you know,
I don't want to be stuck here with these people.
I just need to be able to leave if I want to leave. And for me, that was control. And now I'm able to release that. And part of that too, I think also is like, I have the financial means to leave a situation without my car in, you know, in the world of Uber and having a job that pays more than minimum wage. But to me, that's what I was hearing was control. And control, I guess, is a reaction to uncertainty, right? Like we don't have certainty. We want to control as much as we can.
It's our attempt to cope with fear. It's our coping strategy. It's just can prove to be a very limiting coping strategy. You know what I mean? It can limit you to the amount of things you're willing to go out and try or do in ways. It can really limit your ability to interact and have good times with the people around you who don't feel all that shit when you're trying to limit their fun because of your anxiety. That's not very fun for families. It's interesting. You talk about the safety, and I'm just thinking about the nervous system operates under this. It needs to know it can protect itself at some level, right? That's a cue of safety. Knowing I can remove myself from a situation that's uncomfortable is a cue of safety for me. And the idea of being stuck in a situation is definitely a cue of danger, right? And this is something in a different way I've explored with the people in my house. Is that like I need to be able to end a conversation when I can't continue the conversation anymore. And like you can't chase me around the house and bang on doors that I close. Like this is unacceptable. It cues danger for my nervous system and it's not okay. Like I need to be able to stop and say I can't do this right now. I need that at a base level. And like I feel like that is to allow my nervous system to so that I can have a calmer nervous system when I'm talking, right? How am I going to have a calm nervous system in a conversation I don't think I can actually safely leave? And I feel like that's, I guess, what you were just saying, right? That makes a lot of sense. We would react with that. But I think that's where we get limited, right? Because we can't control everything about the unknown because it's the unknown. And maybe that's the question we're really asking. What do you do when our typical strategy of coping is control? Where do we go next when we can't control?
And I know your attitude going in can help shape it. So it's like, is it just positivity? Is like that all I need? That doesn't feel like enough though. Like I've tried just positivity. It's not enough. There's something more.
Yeah.
For me, at a base level, a lot of times is just telling myself I am going to be okay. Like it starts there. You know what I mean? So what is the situation and what are my outs? Like, and just sort of getting there and being like, okay. Then whatever else happens, I'm good. You know, as long as I know what my outs are, what my limitations are.
Yeah, and that resonates for me probably in a less logistical standpoint of like fear of uncertainty, fear of getting hurt, fear of ending up in a situation that ends up. This is a more macro sense. This is not like taking a trip somewhere, but being able to reparent myself and say, no matter what, we're going to be okay in this situation, even if it doesn't go the way we want it to, or things go badly, like no matter what, I can be okay, and having that faith in myself that I have the internal resources to get through whatever happens.
Okay, so essentially I think we're talking about affirmations, which I'm totally down with. And I think I've done a little bit of that too, being like, I can land on my feet. I've had to like convince myself, you know what? You've dealt with shit. You will land on your feet again.
It's different than an affirmation though, because an affirmation is something that I'm going to repeat to myself outside of the situation where I need it so that I can have that internalized. Whereas the kind of reparenting is in that very moment of I'm feeling something, some kind of feeling, and then I'm able to kind of talk myself back away from that reactivity.
So, and my biggest area of growth, and I don't know what the therapy world says about this nowadays, but, and it wasn't a therapy thing, it was just what we did, was almost like exposure therapy. Was like, we fucking sold our house and bought an RV and traveled around the country for 3 years with our kids with no idea, like, all right, we're going to go work at this job for the next 4 months. And then that job ends because that campground closes for the winter. So I don't know what the fuck we're going to do 6 months from now for income. And so we're just going to figure it out. And I was like, okay. Like, I was terrified. I was terrified, but was willing to do it. You know what I mean? We just did it, you know, but terrified the whole time.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's the greatest plan. There's it makes me picture this idea of there's a circle, and inside that circle is my comfort zone. Everything that I am just totally comfortable doing. This is like, you know, my house, my bathroom, where I feel like I can take a poop and I'm at peace, right? The circle outside of that, just a little bit bigger, is places I'm not real, real comfortable, right? Maybe I've been there once. Maybe I've never been there. Maybe I'm kind of know the people. Maybe this is my second holiday at my partner's family's. You know what I mean? That kind of level. Like, I think I can tolerate this, but it's really uncomfortable at times, and I get a little nervous. And then there's a third bigger circle around that, and everything in that circle is trauma. You're just traumatizing yourself at that level. And like, so it's a fine line of knowing where our level of tolerance is, where we can be able to stay in a place that's regulated enough to appreciate what we're doing for ourselves and get through the experience in a positive way, versus there is a place where we're just kind of forcing ourselves through a traumatic experience and saying we got to the other side, and not really, it doesn't really have a whole lot of healthy benefit for us.
But yeah, in my situation, like what we did, like I feel like that was my biggest, like I came away from that situation feeling like, yeah, things don't need to be so scripted and planned out. And life is, you can kind of roll with it and see what happens. And you know what I mean? Like it did open me up to a lot of things, but I had a lot of resources too. I had a lot of supports. I had family supports, you know.
Well, I'm thinking two possible things, right? One, just because it was extremely terrifying in the sense for your logical brain, you'd never done anything like that or pictured anyone living like that. That doesn't mean your nervous system was necessarily dysregulated by that. Like you could have had a sense of calm of, this is my wife. I trust that we're going to be okay and our family will be okay. Yes. And like, that's going to be the thing you're drawing on. So that probably is a positive experience. But also, I guess there is the thing that like people go through traumatic shit and come out on the other side better off. It doesn't mean it was good or that there wasn't a better way to get there. But that could be true too, I guess, you know. I guess I'm picturing a man's search for meaning, right? Viktor Frankl, he went through the Holocaust in one of the concentration camps and then came out of it feeling like a guy who had a sense of life purpose from it. Like, don't think I would have put him through it again for you know what I mean, to get there.
Or put someone else
through
it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, just go through the Holocaust. Like, Viktor Frankl, you'll be fucking great. Like, that's probably not the great therapy suggestion.
Yeah, that's like people in recovery who are like, I'm glad I'm an addict. That way, I'm a grateful addict because... you know, I went through this. I'm a better person. Like, wouldn't it have been nice if you didn't have to hit your low? Like
grateful that? I've been through what I've been through. Like, right. I'm not. I wish I would have handled this differently.
Yeah.
I'm grateful that the position I've been able to get into from what I've been through allows me to use it in a way that helps other people. That's what I'm grateful for. But yeah, I take it all back, please. Right. You can have it.
Yeah, I'm grateful, but not for the bad parts.
So I guess I think what Billy and Caroline were trying to express, what I heard was a different coping strategy besides the control, right? When the control runs out and I can't control, what do I do then? And it reminded me of a saying I heard a long time ago, actually, in a program of recovery. It said, the bird doesn't land on the branch, trusting that the branch won't break. The bird lands on the branch, trusting that it has wings. You know what I mean? And like that encompasses, I think, what I'm going for when I go against the unknown. It's not finding all the information or the facts or the control or the like that can, in a physical sense, ease my anxiety. But it's not, from my belief, really tending to the part of me that gets anxious, because that part of me doesn't trust that I'm a capable human. That part of me got programmed that I'm not enough and life's out to get me. And every time I show up, I'm going to show up in ways that just aren't enough and I just won't win. And like, that's the thing I'm really scared of, showing up like that. Right. And like what I try to give myself, sitting with the idea that like I've been through a lot and I have come through a lot of it. And like, dealing with, I think some of it too is healing from some of that, because I think when we're still kind of unhealed and have that wound, it's hard to, you know, push through or get that other coping strategy of being able to tell ourselves like, I know what to do when things go bad. I go off and breathe. I go sit in meditation. I ask my family for hugs. Worst case scenario, everything goes bad, I got a strategy, even if it's just go to my bed and fucking cry for a little while until I know who to call. You know, like, so if I can trust that I know how to calm myself and treat myself at my worst, I don't have to be as terrified that I'll go there. Is that?
Yeah, something, you know, Jason said, I was just thinking along the same lines. It's like, and I use this for a different frame of thinking sometimes. It's like, if I picture my life in like 5-year increments, or take my recovery and go back 5 years, like if I look up 5 years ago from like now, I didn't even own the fucking house I live in. I didn't live in, you know, we lived in a camper still. I didn't have the job that I had. Like, and then 5 years before that, well, my kids were young and life was way different and things just looked completely different. So every 5 years, I go through these like major changes. Doesn't feel like it because it's such a gradual process, but like Jason was saying, when I look back over the course of like life and recovery in these years, it's like, man, we've been through a lot of shit and yet we're still here and we're still okay, and you know, things are actually getting better in our lives, and you know, that gives me some peace to not be so scared of the future or scared of the unknown.
You can kind of like track like a trajectory. Like, I keep moving up, so if I just keep doing what I'm doing.
I feel like the thing you're talking about impacts me in a different way. I will go to look for like a set of pictures from my life that I want to show somebody or revisit. And I, for the life of me, can't figure out what fucking time period in my life it was, because it feels like it was 40 fucking years ago. And I'm like, how was I that guy 4 years ago? Like, and it's so hard to believe how quickly and drastically we can change in the healing process. And I mean, you know, long term, I've been in this healing process, but like the short spurts at different times. And yeah, looking back, and I'm like, Jesus, that wasn't that long ago that I was still operating with some really different behaviors. And it's just hard to believe, you know?
Yeah. And I was in a meeting the other day and somebody said the typical, like a cliche that you hear all the time, you know, like, I never forget, you know, my last day using and my first, and I kind of shared after that. I'm like, I don't fucking remember that shit. I mean, I vaguely, but that was 23 years ago. I was 26 years old. You know what I mean? Like, I've had kids and got married, taken trips, like done all kinds of shit. Like, I don't remember that experience. I know it was a bad point in my life. I could probably sort of drudge up some vague memories and vague feelings about it, but that's so long ago. Well, I just was wondering, like, so is there something specific that you're uncertain about, or is there certain things that seem to set you up?
Yeah, I guess in the past year and a half or whatever, like, I just have, I know what I'm doing week to week with the family in my life, but I just don't know where I'm going, like, career or, cause I don't, I'm a stay at home mom, you know, like that's my career, but I'm like, I just don't know what I'm going to do with the resources I have. And I realized that like, I'm so much, I am the kind of person like you guys are talking about trips. Like if I plan a day in New York City, yes. Like I know what museum I'm going to hit, where I'm going to eat, which subway we're going to take. I love that. The unknown part is like, maybe we'll stop and get coffee. I'm like, I wonder what weird people will see, you know, like that's the unknown part. I'm very much, I like to know where I'm going. I like to feel, you know, like safe and secure and have a plan. And I think I'm tipping into the too controlling kind of thing. And I don't know where my life is going. I'm impatient. Like I want to have a plan. Like I want to know exactly where me and my family are going in the next 5-10 years. And I don't really have a plan. And I'm like impatient with that. Like, I feel like I should know. I'm just uncomfortable sitting with the unknown instead of chilling out and like following intuitive clues, which is, I think, what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm. I'm anxious. Like I don't feel safe or I'm doing something wrong. So I'm tipping into the crazy, if you know, but there's times though I relax and be like, just go with the flow, Jenny. But I don't stay in the flow for too long. So
I think you're tapping into another good coping strategy. Actually, I'm picturing somebody that has a high anxiety around their health, right? Picture upper 30-year-old white male, obese, right? Eats their feelings, doesn't have a lot of social connection, feels shunned by people at work. Maybe they play video games, a little awkward. And they have a lot of anxiety around going to the doctors and that they're going to find out that they have something that's killing them. And like what I think people sitting across from them see easier than they can see in their life is that they're not really anxious that they have something that they're going to die from. They're anxious because they can never get moving on any given day to actually do anything about it. If they could just take some steps each day and just take a little walk and just eat a little healthier, like the anxiety about the terminal thing wouldn't eat them alive because they'd be taking steps and feeling like they had power in their life. But what the problem is they're feeling powerless. They're feeling helpless against it. And like, it's just going to overwhelm them and they're going to be to blame because they're the ones, that's the message they got. They're fucking their life up. And like, I think a really good coping strategy is trying to step back from that and say, well, what steps could I take? What part is in my power? What, you know, I can't control if I already have a terminal illness, but what can I do from here to move away from getting it, to lessen my chances? Because when I can take those steps every day, I don't have as much anxiety about the end result or the outcome because I'm doing my part. And so maybe like there's some piece of that for your, you know, example or situation or for anybody else's, like, what would be like the steps you could take to limit that anxiety? And I think you just touched on it, taking the natural things that come in front of you that feel good to you, that would get you closer to a sense of direction over time. You know what I mean? Possibly.
Yeah. The intuitive clues. But then I think my problem is I get impatient and I want all the answers right now, which is not how it works.
It's hard to be excited about options. Like, I feel like there's points in time in my life where if you told me I had things to pick from or different future options or ways my life would go, that would be like super exciting to sit around and just ponder about for hours. Like, oh man, imagine me being this career and doing this, that would look like this. And we would take these trips and we would interact with, I'd have this coffee on Sundays with this. Like, I don't know. That feels like it could be a real fun thing to do too. And like, I guess what makes it feel like you don't want to be in that part of this journey? What feels like not safe or not enjoyable about that?
I guess the risk of failure, you know, like the fear of failure, and especially cause it's not just me, it's my kids, you know, like I don't want to fail them. Hmm. So it's, that pressure on myself to do it perfect. It's perfectionism.
Mm. So it's a fear of not knowing if you can do any of these things perfect.
Yeah, I think so. Wow. Or at least passable. Hmm. Not just passable, like a B.
C plus.
No C's.
A minus.
Yeah, and so many times for me as a person that also fears failure. Like if you sort of look at, well, what is failure? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like it not working out perfectly is completely unrealistic expectation. You know what I mean? It might work out perfectly, but probably not.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it's like a 90% chance it's not going to go perfectly. So, you know what I mean? What, and sometimes just realistically looking at that, like, you know, when we sold the house and traveled around, like, well, if this fails, I don't know, you know, what is going to happen. And it's like, well, what would failure look like? Like, will we be like so poor that they take our kids away and we're homeless on the streets with our kids in social services? Like, is that going to happen? Like, that's probably not going to happen. And worst case, we come back and we settle down and we buy a house, which is what we ended up doing. And it's like, well, it didn't work out the way we had envisioned it, but it also wasn't some catastrophic failure. So sometimes looking at what you think failure is.
Yeah, no, I love that. Just over here thinking of my own failures in life. I miserably failed at being a construction worker and all manly and shit. So I ended up a really great therapist that's happy in his job. And I miserably failed at meeting the demands of what my original therapy office wanted out of me, seeing people each week numbers wise. But that led me to a ton of personal growth and a different path of, you know, partly operating my own business and stuff. And you know, I failed being a dad for a long time, and now I'm a pretty good dad because of that. So it's like every failure, quotes, I've had is really just me learning how I don't want to do it and pointing me in the direction of what I do want. And like, I know the feeling of that moment of not having the outcome I want hurts like hell. But when I can really remember what's going on in that process and reframe that belief system and that reparenting, like, all my failures have taken me where I need to be.
Yeah, and if I could look at mistakes more as lessons, like you two have done, I guess I'm just scared to go there. You know, like, it's not a failure, it's a learning lesson. Mm-hmm. But I have to really, really live that and think that. Saying it's not, you know what I mean?
Well, and not just...
Let's go make some mistakes.
But recognizing like that it has value. Like,
yeah,
coming up short or trying things and failing at them actually has a value in and of itself. So, and what I mean by that is, like, in my kids, you know, the school that they go to, like, they feel like kids trying things and failing and falling short is a huge part of the learning process. Yes. Like, to them, they're like, oh, yeah, it's critical. Like, yeah. They can't learn. They can't become, you know, really productive and good human beings unless they go through this sort of, I hate to say crucible, but the experience of like falling short on things, trying to do something, having it not work out, having to go terribly, and then figuring out, oh, guess what, I'm fine, we'll try again, or we'll do something different, or, you know, this is why it failed. Like, those things are all so critical to like learning.
I'm picturing a little kid like trying to stack up blocks to make a tower or something, and it keeps falling over because, you know, little kids suck at stacking blocks. And you want to run over and help them so bad, but man, they get so frustrated. They walk away, they come back, and when they get that motherfucker, they are so happy. And it's like, that's that thing we need to know that we can keep coming back and get it. And like, yeah, so if you could write down the list, right? What happens in this process if I go route A and try this one particular thing that really interests me the most out of all these options? And it quote unquote fails, right? Well, I get the opportunity to show my kids how to get through life when things don't go the way we hoped. I get the opportunity to reparent myself. I keep looking for these opportunities where I'm going to be hurt and need reparenting. I get the opportunity to reach out to my friends and rely on them when I'm hurt and vulnerable. Like, I get all these opportunities for positive things out of that moment. And like, if I know that's the end outcome of all that, that doesn't sound so bad.
Yeah, and if I can look at it like a game, I think if I take the perspective like, oh, it's just a game. Like, when you're talking about your kids' awesome school that they went to, like, in my mind, that's like, well, it's a game. It's just practice. Like, it's not reality. So they make mistakes. That's cool. That's what we're here to do, is just practice. But why can't I adopt that in my adult life? Like, just go for it. Maybe it's because money's so tight. Like, there's so little room for risk. I mean, I'm not going to lose my house or anything like that, but like it hurts, man. If you do something and you lose money, ugh, you know, there's no buffer for safety. Like the United States is not a safe place for risking jobs, careers, education. Like we don't really have the setup for that.
Yeah.
It's like, you better be certain.
And it's a little different, but like I have a hard time like with my kids in sports, like watching them like make mistakes or not get something right. Like I've had to, like I just cringe on the inside and want to like correct and fix, and you know what I mean? It's so hard to sit back and just be like, nice try. Like, but I know that's the defective part of me that's doing that. It's not them.
Maybe we need to go this route. I got something going on. My 9-year-old decided he wanted to play cello. And had a picture of my 9-year-old. You know, think ADHD. He's pretty hyper. He's pretty active. He's got a lot to say. He tells you everything that goes through his brain for the most part, or maybe half of it, but it's still a lot. And like doesn't concentrate real well, doesn't practice stuff real well. I don't know. This was just one of those things where I was like, I don't know about this from the get-go. And like he's practicing a little bit around the house for his upcoming spring concert. And like, yeah, he's practicing around the house for his upcoming spring concert, right? And like there's that feeling you got, Billy, that how would I feel if I was the kid playing that version for people listening and seeing their reaction or whatever. And it'll probably be a good reaction. I'm sure we'll all be parents and just clap no matter what at the thing. But like, I don't know, man. That always hurt me so much when I could clearly see through other people's eyes that had programmed me how I was going to fail and fall short and not look good. And like, it fucking kills me to feel like he's going to have to feel that. But maybe if I don't give it to him, he doesn't have to feel that. Right. I don't know, right?
Right.
Like, I'm trying not to my best. I'm just supportive and smiling and shut my fucking mouth because that's the best thing I can do a lot of times.
I went to an elementary school concert at wintertime.
Yeah. Christmas, oh, I did one. Too.
Oh, it was terrible.
Oh, it was awful.
So bad. So well, here's the I'm thing. Sure your son's fine.
Here's the thing. I heard the awfulness at the winter concert, right? He didn't play in that one. He just sang, and that was pretty rough too. But anyway, but it was like cute awfulness. It was like, you recognize the tune, but it's out of tune. But it's so sweet. They're adorable. They're elementary school. Yeah, he don't play like that. That's my nervousness.
It's not cute, like, awful.
It's
awful, awful? It's not little, cute, awful.
It's a little not quite cute, awful, I think. or recognizable at times. And like, yeah, man, I'm just really trying to work with like, my job is just to be here if he has any feelings about it. That's right. Right? Like, it ain't nothing for me. Mm-hmm. He's playing. He's happy. I'm happy. Cool. But I got that fucking feeling in me, man. And that's a hard one. I'm just glad right now. I'm glad for the awareness of it and to not react to it. But like.
And that's like with my son, especially after some of his baseball, I stopped with my judgments of what's going on. I say, oh, how do you feel? How do you feel like you did today? You know, what did you know? And then I always got to chime in with some sort of helpful information, but. But that's my shit, you know what I mean? Like, I got to recognize, like, that's, like Jason was talking about, it's me trying to project my feelings onto them. But, like, with the uncertainty part, you know, I just try to, I guess it's a recovery thing, like, have faith that the universe is going to take care of things, that there's some higher power, you know, I hate to say God, but there's, like, it's going to be okay. It's just, it's going to go the way it's supposed to go, whether I fucking like it or not. And it's going to happen the way it's going to happen.
Have you found that listening to the Recovery Sort Of podcast has helped you in your day-to-day journey? Please share the message of compassion and well-being with the loved ones in your life. Connect with us more at recoverysortof.com. Facebook, Instagram, Threads, YouTube, and other social media spaces. And have a great week.